Coming Up Next Time podcast is brought to you in part by Built to Ride. Head over to builttoride.ca and pick up some coffee or apparel. Use the exclusive listener code COMEUP when you check out for an additional 20% off your order. My next guest is somebody I met shortly after my interview with Stephen Ford. We kept in touch and made a few attempts to get together so we could record this episode. He's somebody who has faced an enormous challenge in life more than once and always persevered. He has the attitude of a champion. He's not one to ever give up. He has the attitude of a champion, and it's easy to see why nothing in life gets him down. In his life after Moto, he founded a clothing brand and works as a mentor to inspire people in situations similar to his own to never give up. Coming up next, this is Al 559 Wilson.
But it's not live, so.
Oh yeah, you can chop and edit and
you bet.
Tweak. Yeah.
And if it's something super critical, we can just take it back and start again or whatever. If there's like a transport truck or some stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
All right.
Right on.
So, before I forget, I'll just get you to introduce yourself because I always do that. I fucked that up. And, so now it's like a little sticky note telling me to ask everyone, just introduce yourself.
Okay. Yeah. My name's Al Wilson, from Parksville, BC on Vancouver Island.
Sweet. Yeah. I mean, known on Instagram as Dirt Bike Al.
That's right, Dirtbike L 559. The 559's really taken off, so
nice.
Pretty rad, yeah.
Yeah. At the end, we'll do another 559 plug for you, okay?
And then it doesn't matter. All good. If we touch on it, it's great. If we don't, no biggie.
I'd like to think that it gets attention during this podcast.
I hope so. We actually are our motorbike jerseys. Our new mountain bike jersey that's coming out is sick. So I might actually separate my riding clothes and mountain bike stuff from my clothing line.
Okay.
We might start another little one, but we've had great success with the first jersey. Our second jersey's just about to come out, and then I've had a designer working on my mountain bike jersey now. So
that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. And if you want to know what, it's like, I have no idea what the clothing industry, but we've just jumped in, like just full tilt go. I bought a hat press and I bought a shirt press. Like we went in, it was $7,000 for that stuff. So we just went for it. Said, screw it, let's go.
I think it's an all or nothing kind of game. You don't have a choice.
That's right. You go small, it won't take off. So
no. When I was talking with Malcolm, he was like, they started off whatever, like 52 hats or something like that. And then another 52. And then he's like, oh Christ, this is something, you know?
So. He's done really well. And that's where I got a lot of my ideas from Malcolm. He's been great.
Nice.
That is tough podcast to follow. Like, holy smokes, you've had some big names on.
Shit, man. I don't know what the hell. Like, I had to take a break because, I had a number of big names clearly. And then people wanted to get in on it all. But finding the time and then accommodating the big names, because it's just like, do I really want to miss out on my chance to talk to Graham Jarvis or Chris Birch or whatever?
Yeah.
So when they say when and where, that's when and where.
Right.
And so it was like, I had no time for some things. Then we went on vacation and I'm playing catch up even still, you know?
You're still working Monday to Friday.
Monday. At least I have a 4-day job, right? Tuesday to Friday. So Monday's like my podcast day, and then the whole world is not ready for just sitting down on Monday.
Before we dive into a bunch of stuff, what do you think about Tristan Hart just dominating right now,
kicking ass, man?
I know he's had, you know, like last race he had 13 minute lead
over
Cody. I'm just so stoked for that kid. So
oh my god, man. He's getting ready for Romaniacs.
He's going. Okay, yeah, good.
I just did an interview with Matt Green, who's someone I never knew about. I'm new to the whole enduro scene, but you know what I mean?
Okay.
And there's a lot of news to get through and to understand and whatever, right? But this guy's 19 years old. He's been racing Romaniacs since he was 15.
No way. I'll search him up.
Yeah, man. And right now he's riding with Manny Lettenbickler and Billy Bolt. Like there is his riding buddies.
There you go.
Yeah.
What better two riding buddies, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
and then right. like,
than if you're over here in the States or Canada. Yeah, yeah. That's cool.
So I just feel like, not jealous of the kid, but like,
yeah,
at least he's aware that like he's sitting someplace special in time and space, and it's not everybody has this. And he seems pretty grateful. Like, like factory KTM and factory Husqvarna at different times in his career lent him a bike to come over to Romaniacs or to Erzberg or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, it was just a favor. They're just doing it for me to be nice because we were at dinner together. And I was like, no, man, it's because like you're somebody, you're special.
Yeah.
They can see that.
Yeah.
Because they don't just lend a motorcycle to a dinner guest. Right.
That sounds like a Tati Blazusiak story, like lent him the bike to go and he wins. So
yeah, that's right. Like on a borrowed bike. Yeah.
You know? And borrowed 300. Yeah.
Yeah. So just like, I don't know. Like, anyway, he's such a sweetheart. Like Steve, my buddy, gives me shit for calling guys sweetheart, but like this, he's 19, man. Fuck it. Like he's got a heart of gold. His dad would kick his ass if he was ever not humble. And, you know, that's that.
Yeah. Like,
whatever. Farm life, man.
I love humble. I'm like Tristan the guy. Sorry. I keep going back to him, but just so humble about it. And yeah. Yeah, really, really cool. It's really cool to see.
Like, I had a chance to talk to him, and like, he's like Graham in the way that he's not satisfied with not winning.
Yeah.
Do you know? And like,
yeah.
He's not hard on anybody but himself about it. It's like, you can't blame the bike, can't blame whatever. Just, it's all me.
Yeah.
And unless it is the bike, and then he can walk away from it. But overall,
yeah.
Like, you know, I'm just like, fuck, that's so shit. You know, like,
it's super cool to see.
Yeah.
Their number one rider right here from, you know, BC.
Yeah, I know. And he splits his time. Like I challenged him on that one. I was like, have you ever given any thought to the fact that both Alberta and BC claim you as their own?
Yeah.
You know, like, cause they do.
They do.
Like, why wouldn't they? He rides in Calgary all the time and he lives in BC. So,
yeah.
And you know, when you're special, people want a part of that.
Yeah.
You know, but he doesn't seem to have that, problem. I mean, I think enduro doesn't have that problem because even though inside its community everybody's like super famous and whatever, they can go anywhere and no one will know who the hell they are or
that's
even
right.
care.
That's right. Like,
you know, it's like when the Matt kid asked me how popular my podcast is, I was like, it's really popular with the people who know about it, but other than that, you know.
Yeah, actually, I'm doing another podcast.
Shit,
yeah, later this week with Will. So he's an artist. He's toured with like Matt Good, Big Sugar. He's pretty well known in Canada.
Yeah,
and he does a moto podcast called Moto Mo. So it's motorbikes and more, basically.
Okay.
So he's done one already, and I'm going to do a number two podcast with him later this week. So
that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I'll send you a link to his site.
And, inside of a small community, it's a very small community.
Like, it is.
Like,
it is.
You know, it's just like when I was talking with Kyle about the future marketing, right? I was like, I expect to max out at 5,000 followers. That's it. Because
You never know.
You never know. I know, because Graham's got like a million people following him. But like, so there clearly are that many in the world. But since it's an English only kind of thing, you never know, right? Like,
That's true. You don't know.
Yeah. And it's a niche of a niche of a niche, right?
Yeah.
Motorcycles, off-road, enduro.
Like, fuck. That's right.
Like, all I could do is, if it was a unicycle podcast, it'd be even more fucking.
That's right. It'd be very limited.
Yeah. All 11 people in Canada.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Actually, I seen somebody send it on a unicycle on Instagram the other day. I was like, holy shit.
Oh man. There's this girl on a bicycle, not the girl on a bike, but this girl on a bicycle. I'll find her.
Yeah.
She is like a ballet dancer on a bike. So she has an old school 10 speed with the rolled up forward.
I've seen that.
My God, man, I just watch her go. I mean, she's not even bad to look at, but that aside, she's just so graceful. And like, BMX guys do the same thing she's doing, but it's always rough, right? And she just does it like soft and pretty.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It just elevates it to art from athleticism.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. All right. So, I guess we should get started.
Okay.
So, I just want to thank you for coming on the podcast, Al. And
yeah, no problem.
So,
no, it's been a while. Sorry, it has taken a while, but yeah, it just, it's worked out this week. And
yeah. Oh man, this is literally the soonest I could have gotten to you anyhow, like with the way things have been. So it's just been a minute, right? Like who cares?
Yeah.
So I'd like to start with, your early racing career. Like how did you get into to off-road riding?
Okay. So I grew up racing motocross.
Yep.
And, rode every weekend with my dad. It was all about riding. It was hockey during the week and then riding on the weekends. Eventually I switched over to racing motocross and my dad took me around for a couple of years and then I started going on my own. And in 2004, my buddy said, "Hey, why don't you come down to Souk?" John Savoda said, "Come down to Souk. We'll go riding." And I was kind of burning out on the moto scene. And, I went down there on a 2004 CR450 and I just flailed and suffered. So right then I bought 2004 KTM 250 EXC off Barry Rempel.
Okay.
Everybody kind of knows Barry Rempel. And yeah, it was just the start of it. I started driving down to Shawnigan Lake area and there was this big scene of guys riding there, like trials and enduro. And I just got so hooked. Just the gnarlier, the uglier the trail was. I just started driving down there every weekend. And then we started cutting trail at Whiskey Creek, right near our house. There's a bunch of us, Jarrett May and Craig Hawking and myself, and we just started our own local riding area.
Nice.
And it just it exploded. We actually sort of built the trails in mind to like try to convert some moto guys to just make them flowier and faster. Just big whipping hills and berms. And then it didn't really work. But the enduro scene just took right off. All of a sudden, everybody's like, "Hey, have you rode at Whiskey Creek? Have you rode at Whiskey Creek?" And we threw, my wife and I and one other guy, we threw like a little outlaw race there in about 2006, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. And we had a big turnout. It was fully illegal. And
yeah.
Handed out little mini whiskey bottles at the end. And it was the start, sort of the start of the scene. Cause then right after that, the PN series on the mainland actually started coming over and we started doing a big race there. So it exploded.
That's like, cause you're on Vancouver Island, right? Like,
correct. Yeah. Vancouver Island, Parksville, Whiskey Creek, where we hold the races it's like five minutes out of Parksville, heading towards Port Alberni, the West Coast, kind of.
Okay. And does it make for a small community, I guess, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So that's sweet. And like, from what I understand, you took to it like a duck on water, eh?
Yeah, I did. Absolutely. My buddy, Jarrett May, he took me to the Bent Spoke at up in Hope.
Okay.
BC, and the top half course was covered in snow and we got there and I don't know, and the race was a go and man, I just loved it. Just, I think I went in the intermediate class. I finished fourth out of about 20 bikes and it was so extreme. It was so cool to ride for a motorbike because moto, a lot of the times I found by the end of the day, I almost wanted to skip my last moto from sitting around and waiting.
Okay.
I just wanted to ride. Right.
Yeah.
So when I signed up for the intermediate class and it was 3 hour cutoff, holy, like it took a long time before I was comfortable with that time, but I just, yeah, fell in love right away.
Yeah. Three hour cutoff.
Right. 3 hour cutoff. And a lot of times you come around at 2:30 and they're like, go for another lap. So you were out there for 3:30.
Yeah.
I was hooked.
I think there's a race this weekend with, two or 3.5 hour cutoff and then plus one lap.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Like
it's a long time to be on a bike.
Yeah, man. And like, yeah. I feel for the guys that are going to come in at like 3:29. Does that mean that extra lap or do they got to go one more time? You know, like
they got to go one more. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Cause they,
and then if you bonk on that last lap, you DNF.
I know. It's
right.
Like, and Jesus, like 4 hours, At the level these guys are going to be going at, 4 hours is a long time.
Yeah, like Tristan was 4:06, Cody or Webb was, you know, like 4:10. And then that's a long time to be on a bike.
Yeah.
I did that Bent Spoke, that first race that I was talking about. I had like a hands-free Camelback system.
Okay.
And a branch grabbed it and ripped it off, and my whole bag went down my back. And that was like a 4+ hour race. I was white, just cramping and just trashed after it. But yeah. But like 2 days later, I was like itching to race again. So, right? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? And then I'm just stoked. Okay, yeah, I'm heading to another race.
So. I never understood that. Like, it's a quality that everybody possesses. Like, you know, stoked to get off the line. Everybody's excited. Adrenaline's like flying high as fuck. And then 2 hours or whatever in, the fade's there.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what the hell am I doing?
What am I doing?
And the harder the course, the faster that moment comes.
Yes.
And then, you know, thank God it's over. Thank God it's behind me. I don't want to even look at my bike. And then it's just like, what, next weekend? Yeah.
That's right. Signing up again. I met this lady, and she holds the record for the West Coast Trail. She ran it in like 18 hours.
Holy.
Most people take 3 or 4 days to hike it, right? Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I was like, Juanita, what do you do and how do you train? And so I jumped in with her and started training with her. And then it just took my riding to another level where I wasn't suffering so bad in that last 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And she helped me out huge when I first started really getting into it.
What would you say the secret to her success for endurance was?
Diet. Yeah. I cleaned my diet right up. And just going to that place, like I would always say, okay, take me to that ugly place.
Yeah.
Make me suffer. So that when I'm on the bike, you know, that suffering comes later and later and later.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, how screwed is that? Right. I want to have a good time. So if you could just take me to where I suffer, that'd appreciate it.
Can you just make me hurt? And yeah. Yeah. So yeah.
There must be an element of masochism that everybody possesses then.
That's like, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anybody thinking about crossing over from like motocross to enduro, what advice would you give them?
Yeah. Just be patient.
Yeah.
I did see seen a few guys come over and it didn't really work for them. I think you have to be patient. You know, if you're a high level moto guy, just give it time. Racing in the woods, it takes time to build endurance to ride that long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love Kurt Caselli, who's gone. I love all those, like Corey, I seen Corey Grafunder race the nationals. I love all the crossover racers that have done both.
Yeah.
Ricky Dietrix, the guys that can go back and forth. I mean, even like Caleb Russell right now, his results aren't rough, but he's still qualifying for the, you know, fastest 40 guys in the world. So I usually like those guys, like any of those races that we did, because our series, we did a lot of our races on the moto track with the trails.
Yep.
So a lot of time that would really favor me. So I don't know. You can do both. It shows that you got some talent.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, I'm always impressed. Like when, I guess there's a race coming up here in Alberta at Alex. And then there was one in Calgary at, called the Wild Boys, where they had the blend off-road plus moto, you know,
those are the best.
You can tell the difference between which guys are coming from the track versus which guys and girls are coming from off-road, right? Just by the jump.
That's right. All the jumping, you can tell usually. Yeah.
Yeah. Send it versus crawl over. Like,
that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Cause I know that the ideal is to fly as low as possible when you're making the jump, but that's the off-road people try to like keep it 1 centimeter off the
that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So like time can be made up.
You definitely have an advantage if you've, but then, you know, if you got to race off-road too, you got to race the gnarly parts. So
I find, I don't know, like, I just find jumps quite intimidating, like doubles and triples. I'm just getting into singles, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, it takes time. Yeah. It totally takes time.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. But it's fun. Because my very first tabletop, I broke my ribs.
Oh, really?
Like the very first 5 minutes kind of thing.
Yeah, and
so that cooled my jets somewhat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Then, well, hey,
you know.
Keep yourself safe, right?
Yeah, oh, geez.
Okay. Don't want anything to happen like what happened to me. So
yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
like I don't know. I'll take my time. I'm old, so I gotta.
Yeah, Take your time. That's right. That's right. Yeah. What kind of bike you got?
I got a TE300 Husqvarna. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Right on.
And it's a lot of fun. 2-stroke. Like, just that element is new to me as well. Like, we've ridden just 4-strokes.
Yeah.
And, so there's just a difference in the no longer linear power. There's sort of like a quick peak and then a fast fade. Yeah. So you're sort of working a little harder to keep the power on, you know?
Yeah. They tend to roll a little bit quicker. So
yeah,
you got to be on the brakes a little bit. Like, okay, I'll see you later.
I definitely use brakes more.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. One so, finger on the clutch, one finger on the brake, brake.
I'm still, go between one finger and then a full grip. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know
why. You gotta go one finger for sure. Or Ricky Carmichael, you go middle finger. A lot later in the races on the downhills, for some reason, I would always switch to my middle finger.
Yeah.
But going uphills, I couldn't do it. So I'd switch back to my index. But you take a riding lesson with, you know, Birch or Jarvis, they instantly, you never allowed to grab that clutch lever unless you have, you know, one finger on it.
Yeah.
On the front brake or the clutch lever.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I get why, because you're giving up strength.
And you're covered, right? Yeah. Wobble, pull the clutch in, front brake.
Yeah. Wobbles happen.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I've had a few wobbles.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
So one of the big hurdles you faced in your life was coming over cancer, hey?
Yeah. Yeah. 2018, I grew a rare tumor called a thymoma mass. And one morning I was eating breakfast and just all of a sudden I couldn't breathe. I started choking and like, what the heck? So I would sort of cough and I could feel something inside, right beside my heart.
Okay.
Pushing kind of. Like, I didn't really know, but I knew something wasn't right.
Yeah.
So we went through... Oh, x-ray showed nothing, and then the ultrasound showed nothing, and then the CT scan showed it was like a grapefruit mass pushing on my left lung.
Holy crow.
So here I was, like, you know, eating super clean, training, I didn't drink, just love racing and riding, and boom, yeah. And so I had to have a sternotomy. It's basically open heart surgery where they cut you wide open.
Yeah.
Take it out, removed it, and then they couldn't get it all, so we did 25 rounds of radiation as well.
How was that?
And you want to know what? Radiation was fine. It was okay. It was like scary going in there.
Of course.
And everybody closed this door that's like 12 inches thick, and you know, everybody bolts, right? And you're in there, you're like, damn. But it ran me down, but the doctor said, so take your fitness and like cut it in half. You know, chill out. I did the dead opposite. I drove to Victoria myself. I drove all, so it was a 2-hour drive every day. Come home, I'd either go to a CrossFit class with my buddies or my brother, or my wife, or I'd go to Cumberland mountain biking in the afternoon. And then the nurses the next day, they'd go, so what'd you do yesterday? And so it was like a shock factor, right? Yeah. I was trying to show them how much I could actually do during it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it made me feel shitty, and there was a lot of side effects from the radiation, but I pushed through, rebuilt myself, and then got back riding and racing after that.
And how did that, I guess, encounter with cancer make you think about things?
Oh, man, I thought I was going down at first. So I had all these, like, bucket list things I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I was like, shit. And I was burning out with racing as well, so... It kind of made me just open my eyes and go, shit, I need to travel. I need to do a few things I want to do other than ride these bikes every weekend and chase plastic trophies.
Yeah.
So it opened my eyes for sure. And and all of a sudden I had all these friends now that were my like cancer group friends, right? These people that I'd met. And I'm happy to help out with other people now that I've gone through. I just got a phone call the other day. Very, very similar. He's 35, and he's told all my friends that my talk really helped him. So, not really sure what I did, but I was able to pass on.
I imagine it's your energy, Al. Like,
maybe. Yeah. I don't
know. We spoke one time on the phone before, and that was the first takeaway that I had. Like, the lasting takeaway was just your energy is so positive, man.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I stumble for words, but hopefully people just, you know, follow and, you know, what I'm doing and how I'm getting through it and maybe in a role model or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'd say.
Why not? I like talking about myself sometimes, no. So it's hard, right?
Yeah.
I'm like,
To build your own pedestal.
Yeah. So that was a pretty gnarly get through, like a week. I laid in the hospital for a week. I lost all my chest mass. So I started rebuilding from that. And just got back into riding and racing. And then this happened. So.
Yeah. And then this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Had an accident this 1 year ago. So this Saturday, which is Monday. So 2 days ago, it's been 1 year since I broke my neck.
Holy crow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been 1 year. So I wasn't going to do anything. I was just going to do I'm really into training now and CrossFit, like an adaptive style. And so my buddies come by and we did a awesome workout. We added all our ages up. So it was 163 reps of push-ups, 163 reps on the rower. And we had six different exercises. So it was like an hour and 10 workout.
That's crazy.
And yeah, it was really good. So the one guy that was here, he'd been to the CrossFit Games twice as a master's athlete. And then my trainer, Patrick, he's just amazing. He's so awesome.
Yeah. Has he been your trainer since the accident or before?
He was pre. Okay. And, but he's taken his adaptive coach training.
Yeah.
So he trained athletes, you know, one limb or blind or you name it, right? He can train them. So so he said when I'm ready, he would train me as well, and it's been going really, really good.
Yeah, I've watched some of your progress. I love that you're tongue in cheek about some of the stuff. Like, you know, like you lifting the weight.
Oh,
I'm
from the chest down, like above, like my, armpit level.
Yeah.
And I'm in half my arms and I have no fingers yet, but my fingers are starting to move a little bit now, but you know, it's amazing. I can still do a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And that's remarkable. Like, I mean, it's obviously a perspective only someone in your position could have, but like from where I'm at, like we talked on the phone, like beforehand, it's just like your thoughts are going to be, it's over and then it's not.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's not, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. I wanted it to be over for sure. But I won't. Yeah. And then, here I'm a year later doing well and happy to be here and training again and, got lots of toys to still get on and go play.
Yeah, you got that one bike.
Yeah, I got the Bowhead. They just did a big, like, full downhill series, the Dunbar series.
Okay.
And the downhillers go first, and then the adaptive bikes go, and the guys were hauling ass, man. It was pretty rad to see.
Oh, crazy. Like,
yeah.
Well, it's just like at the ski hill when the adaptive athletes are in, like, in the little chair ski or whatever.
That's right. They fly.
So fast, just like holy crap, man! Don't even care about life or limb, and it's like moto and everything was like a huge part of your life, and even a part of your identity. And then you had the accident on the mountain bike, and and now you're in a wheelchair, but you're still part of the community, and you're still like, I don't know, like with your clothing brand and all that stuff. It's like you haven't said goodbye to it at all.
No, and I hope to go back, and I kind of got this little on the back burner. I'm hoping to maybe, I kind of want to help out like a younger rider coming up and follow them through the whole series once like COVID's over and we get back to a normal race series. Kind of a, like a little goal would be like, I love fancy bikes. So that's why I was on that TM at the end. There's a TM 250F XCF dual headers, dual exhaust. It's sick. I would love to buy one of those.
Yeah.
And just sponsor a kid for the season, someone I think that's up and coming, and maybe not even the fastest kid or whatever, but just someone I really, really enjoy working with.
Yeah.
This is just sort of a back burner idea, but then hang out and help them train, because I have two gyms at my house. I have an indoor and an outdoor gym.
Oh, nice.
I think I'm going to just still be around the races quite a bit, and I probably won't go to travel to the far ones, but all these close ones like Nanaimo and Corksville and Campbell River, I'm hoping I can still make a showing and hang out and to see everybody. Actually, it's grown so much that, and I've been out of it for a bit now, but so many new faces. So I know a lot of the old schoolers, but I don't know a lot of the new guys there. It's growing so much.
Heck yeah. And there's been like a 2-year weirdo gap or two That's season, right. like weirdo gap. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
just, it's, I don't know, man. I wonder what the impact that's going to have on some guys.
Well, what I've noticed just on social media, so it's who knows, but I think guys have taken their riding a little bit to a new level, because when you're racing, chasing races, you're pre-riding and then you go race, and a lot of the courses are, you know, they're not really tough, but I found like everybody's posting, they're going a little more extreme.
Yeah.
So I think some of the guys' riding has probably improved.
I could see that.
Yeah, I think the level has increased a little bit, right? Like, I mean, like Sam King and Mal, all these guys are out there these guys are just shredding right now because there's no races.
Yeah. Can only hope their endurance is failing.
Right?
Really? But I doubt it.
Have you interviewed Sam yet?
No, we keep trying to make it happen. And then it's just like, whatever, timing. Hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I work with his aunt. Which is hilarious. Really? Yeah. So I sent him a picture, her and I together. Yeah.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah. It's the world is so small, man.
Yeah.
Like he's
been such a supporter since my injury, and he was before as well. And same as Malcolm. I know you used to talk to Malcolm. I didn't listen to that one yet, but, yeah, those guys are rad. So many rad people, really, like, and especially once you get hurt, you really realize, holy shit, there's some pretty amazing people out there.
Yeah. How's that? It's something I want no one to experience, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. I can't imagine going through this without friends, family, and all the support I've received.
Yeah.
It'd be a bitch, man. Like, there's some low days and some days, you know, I get these random messages, and I've actually met so many freaking people now because of this injury. So like I met a guy in Comox, his dad was building an elevator shaft for a paraplegic, and he fell down the fucking shaft at the end and broke his back. So this guy knows exactly what I'm going through, right?
Yeah.
He's a local rider just getting into the scene, and you know, just messages like that are amazing. These people I don't even know. And now I'm FaceTiming with them and chatting with them. Right. So yeah. Yeah, just like yourself, right? Like this is it's pretty cool. I've got to meet so many new people.
Yeah, and like I don't know. Do you think social media has helped you stay like in the community or stay like social, so to speak?
I think so. I'm pretty bad at posting, and but yeah, I think it does. It does for sure. I mean, because yeah, you wouldn't have these long relationships with people, you know, out of province. Yeah. Right. Or yeah.
How's the clothing line going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. The, like I was saying earlier, the jerseys went really well. It's going really good. The hats, the hoodies, people. And then at first it was kind of funny. I would get a message like, hey, I seen somebody wearing a 559 hoodie in Woodgrove Mall. Who was it? And they'd take a picture and I'd be like, I don't know who that. Now it's like, I have no clue. Right. It's people are buying it. So. And I think people right now are liking shopping local and keeping their money in town. In town, or I don't know how I say that.
Shop local is a big deal.
Shop local, right? Yeah, yeah. And it's happening.
Yeah, man. Like my wife has the fun the hat with the flowers or whatever.
Oh yeah,
and nice. She wears it like yeah.
Yeah, so that's a peony, and that's my wife's favorite flower.
Okay.
So I wanted to, you know, include her, and it's a bit of a team effort for sure. So we put the peony inside the 559, and that one took off. Like, people love that one. So
it looks cool.
And
man.
Then the people's champ. So the one hoodie that's out with the skull is. So when I got cancer, when I was telling you, and I had a bucket list.
Yeah.
I wanted to get a sleeve. I never got a sleeve on my soul. When I got, so everyone's like, are you going through radiation and doing tattoos, Alan? I'm like, yes. I don't know if that's good or not, but because I thought I was going down, right? I was like, holy shit. So I rapid fired my arm and just covered in tattoos. But that first tattoo I did has taken off as well. And that's what we use on my hoodie.
Okay.
And then actually one for my birthday, which is this skull. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah, I can see it.
It's got the 559 on the visor there. That one's on some of our shirts as well. So it's kind of cool. We've tied it all in.
It's kind of like Rat Rod meets Day of the Dead without being a candy skull.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and then the socks, Enduro socks, are all the one the mountain bikers wear, and those took off. And yeah, I think once I get some more hand function, I'll be able to help out a bit more and take over. I do it 50-50 with my cousin.
Okay.
And he's the one who started it for me when I was in the hospital. He thought, hey, Al's going to need something to do when he gets out. And
fair enough.
Weren't sure what I was going to be capable of, so he started the clothing line for me.
So do you surprise yourself with what you're capable of?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I'm pretty impatient, so I kind of want everything to happen right now. So it has taken time, and that was the big thing I learned at the rehab place. They would always say, you know, you're going to be able to do this, but they don't really tell you. It's going to take time. It's going to take 1 year before, you know, you're comfortable hopping out of your chair into bed or whatever the case is, right? Yeah. So, yeah.
So you've had to learn patience, eh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Lesson. Your family's been pretty good and supportive for you, hey?
Absolutely, yeah. They were always at the races with me. My wife sometimes did the timing. The girls would huge into cheering for everybody, which was cool.
That is cool.
And, you know, they would, every race day, they were ready to go, pack up the food, and off we went. And we were at it from 2004 to 2018, I think, is when sort of we slowed down. So yeah, I chased a lot of rode a lot of ferries, because when I started racing, I had to go to the mainland because we didn't have a scene over here. So it was, you know, a lot of times you go to Kamloops, and it was the 10:45 boat on the way home. So you get home about 2 a.m. on Sunday night, throw the bikes in the garage, and then head to work Monday morning. And but yeah, my family, my number one supporters.
I was going to ask about that earlier, like with the ferry. Being stuck on the island.
Yeah, it was. It was okay. It didn't matter because we were just so jacked to go race new courses.
Okay, yeah.
And, we used to go 3 or 4 guys. We'd hide guys in my van. I used to have a 2005 Sprinter, and we'd hide guys when we'd go across the ferry, and because it was like the ferry entry fee, the hotel, gas. You know, take some bike parts. So it was expensive. I used to do all my plumbing side work. All my plumbing side work would go to the weekend racing, so I didn't kind of drain our bank account.
Yeah, because it's pricey. Yeah.
It was super pricey, right? It's $100 each way on the ferry. So that's 200 plus some gas plus a hotel. Like, yeah, it added up. Yeah. But it didn't matter. We were just so jacked. Coming home sucks because you were just drained. You can't do that now, though, like because we used to just show up. We used to just drive to the ferries and go across. But the island's so goddamn busy now that you can't do it. You have to have reservations, and it's such a scene there now crossing the ferry.
Yeah, the reservation booking to get on is
yeah. You have to. Where the old days, I'm sounding really old, but
yeah, buddy,
right? You just drive there and just get on. So
back in the old days when the phones were attached to the wall,
that's right. Oh, I remember that, man. Going around the corner so my mom and dad didn't listen to my conversation as far as the cord would go. Yeah. Oh yeah, my kids have never experienced that.
No, they got freedom like they don't know.
Right?
Yeah. So yeah. Are your girls ever going to race?
Yeah. So my oldest has done one race at Nanaimo, and then my youngest used to race with me all the time. She would always go in the kids race in the morning. So I would a sweep ride or follow her around and then race over and get ready for my start. So I don't think they will now, but who knows? That you never know. That could come back around. My youngest's boyfriend races. He's a little shredder on a mountain bike and a moto. So we're still kind of it. She's still kind of involved with it a bit.
Yeah. Well, it's they say girls grow up to marry their dad or what have you. So
that's right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So yeah. No, they followed me around in a lot of races.
Nice.
And then I was kind of done, and I was almost done in 2014. I was getting help from Gas from Dave Fair. And then in 20, he is amazing. He's so awesome. And then I switched to Beta in 2015. Stephen Holland gave me a bike and a half and like a bunch of parts. And like, he was so awesome.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was sick. It was a sick setup. So I rode for them from 2015 to 2015. So I won the Island Series in 2016 and 2017. And then, yeah, then it sort of, I faded and got cancer and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, no, it was pretty cool getting some help. That was kind of like a dream of a kid, right?
Yeah, man.
Out to get sponsored. And Barry Rempel, who worked for Motovan, helped me out a ton. Tough City helped me out a ton. Actually, every shop that I, somebody was always helping me. So and even though if I wasn't, you know, riding KTMs, I was always stopping in and saying hi to Simon and Spunk, the guys at Spunk. I tried to keep a good relationship with everybody.
Relationship seems to be the
bridge. Relationship's key.
Yeah.
That's what I see guys with suspension doing right now, like sending out all the world and sending it a factory connection, and I'm like, yeah, that's great, but as soon as you need some help with that setup, you have no relationship with anybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I always go to Rider's Edge, go to STS, go to the control, whoever, but build a relationship with that guy or that person, because you're gonna need some help. So yeah, build a relationship.
Yeah, if I was ever to get into the mechanic side, I think I would learn suspension.
Like, yeah, that's pretty interesting. There's a lot to it, actually. Yeah.
Hey, yeah, it's not just a couple of forks in the front. Like, you know, there's a whole science back there.
Absolutely.
And like, and those guys, I don't know, I think are undervalued because there's like celebrity suspension places, right? Like,
that's right.
And in my mind, those celebrity suspension places are kind of like Walmart, and they hire a bunch of like low wage techs to just follow the instruction of the guru in the room.
Yeah.
Whereas like the local shops, that guy or girl really knows what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I don't know. I've been researching it in the background, like thinking of a jump from plumbing, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, we're both plumbers. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's so many plumbers. Like at the race at the Wild Horse Hair Scramble, it was noted that almost all the vans that were marked were all plumbing vans.
Oh, no way.
And everybody in my camp was a plumber. So the one guy made the comment, my wife asked, why is there no electricians? And then the one guy made the comment, it's because electricians don't want to get hurt.
They're soft.
Yeah, they're too soft. Yeah.
Soft they're not, electricians.
They're nice hands.
Yeah, 40's electric, or a plumber too.
Yeah, 40's a plumber.
40's plumber, I'm a plumber, you're a plumber. Yeah, there's quite a few.
Yeah.
Another guy I know from the interior. Yeah, it's a good trade.
They should start teaching motorcycle maintenance in first year for plumbing.
Right, like that's right. Yeah, hilarious. Yeah, I actually used to drag all my plumbing gear out of my first van because I started just running my own vehicle for a company. So I drag all the gear out, all the bikes in, and then off we go to the mainland and then come home. But then on those Monday mornings, getting up early and throwing everything back in.
Yeah, brutal.
Yeah.
That would suck.
Yeah. But you just loved it so much that it was like, okay, let's go, boy.
You're still humming on the high from the weekend and things like
That's right. That's
and
right. Yeah.
Whatever, you go into work beside the electrician. What did you do on the weekend? Oh, you went to the disco. Hey, I went and raced.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Sorry, disco. Electricians.
Yeah.
Hopefully get some hate mail. Maybe I'll edit this part out.
Yeah. What else are my plans? Oh, I got a race wheelchair showing up tomorrow. Nice. So it's like a three wheeler. It's got a long body and they race them on the track.
Yeah.
So I got one of those I'm going to try. So maybe I just focus on doing some of that or, yeah.
I saw some fellow on a wheelchair on Instagram on a longboard. So it was like an Insta 360 kind of commercial. And, anyway,
he's on his chair,
balancing the two wheels on the chair, like
on a board.
And I just like, you're a lunatic, man. Like,
yeah.
So much could go so wrong so fast.
Yeah.
Just like, hit a stone. Like,
dude, you're going over. Going over.
But hey, props to him. Talent, like,
nobody,
right?
No, for like, sure. Balance. I mean, that Aaron Wheels in that wheelchair on the Nitro Circus, like, that's crazy. That's crazy, man. Good on him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so fresh. My wife's going back to work in September. So it'll be a whole new chapter, figuring out, you know, I can do this on my own. I'm staying home all day by myself and Yeah, just to get stronger, and maybe get more tattoos.
That's stronger and more tattoos. It's a pretty good recipe.
I can't feel anything below my chest, so I'm tempted to go get like a big leg piece, right?
Holy shit.
Right? But I don't know, because they say a lot of quads will spasm once you get a little bit of pain. So, yeah, so I don't know. I just like to have fun, right?
Yeah,
so,
well, I mean, the spasm, I think, would be a universal risk for any tattoo artist.
That's true. And we can always time. We always pin my legs down or something. I'll start small if I go in and add a little piece here and there and see how my body adapts.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it's still an open wound until it heals, right?
Like, that's right. They say your body takes about 2 years to really heal from a spinal cord accident. So,
oh, yeah.
So 1 year we're in, and yeah.
And then, you're constantly like, are you gaining movement, or are you achieving movement?
Well, I did a big surgery in my forearms. They try to get some hand strength or function back.
Yep.
So I'm working at it every day. I work at it. I'm slowly regaining it, but it's crazy. It's 6 months to 2 years to get a little bit of movement back in your hands. So if I could get a little pinch, if I could just, I got a tiny pinch right now, but I just basically work on that every day, basically little exercises.
That's great. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I mean,
I'm a complete injury, so never say never, but I think it is what it is right now. And yeah. I'll just build my upper body strength back and try to get, just adapt and overcome, or whatever they say, right?
Yeah.
Inspire
Yeah, well, you'll inspire people along the way, that's for sure.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
Well, man, like I said earlier, you have a great personality, and you project such a positive self-image. And
yeah,
like,
thank you.
Yeah, like,
I'll be honest, like, I tell my girls all the time, just make as many friends as you can and be kind to every single person out there. You might, might not think you'll jive with that person, and next thing you know, you'd be best friends. So that's bit me in the ass before, and there I am, like doing selfies with my buddy that I didn't think I would ever get along with. So just be kind to everybody, and it'll come back around. And it has for me. So
I feel it's a guy thing though. Like, we all have, maybe not anymore because you can't fight in school or anything.
Yeah.
But a lot of us have like that dickhead from elementary school or high school. Oh. And then now you're friends, right? Like,
Yeah. Oh, I had that. This one guy, he failed, and then so he was in our grade, and he was just a drunk idiot on the ground. And I just, like, he was at parties and he drove me nuts. And then I was not best buddies, but like a really good friend with him. We got right into 90s grunge, and we'd hang out, we had music in common, and he still comes and checks on me now.
Yeah, what a jerk.
That was high school. That's like 94 when we graduated, and a lot of my buddies are still stopping by and checking in. So
that's pretty cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I just had a buddy drop a huge slab of fish off the other day. That guy I'm talking about, he just dropped by, brought a bunch of donuts from this famous bakery in Ladysmith. And yeah, it just comes around, like I was saying.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You reap what you sow, right?
Like, yeah,
100%. Right. If you're a total jerk, you can expect that in the world.
Come around. That's
yeah.
right.
No,
that's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
Now that you're sort of like watching the sport, you were talking about Tristan. You're clearly paying attention to what's happening down in the American series.
Yeah.
What do you think of that whole thing? It's like, it's almost brand new, right? Like,
yeah. Yeah. What do I think? I think it's so rad. That's what social media is really helping, right? I'm getting to follow like live Taylor Robert and Tristan Hart battling it out on the rocks, and people are, videotaping and posting it to Instagram. Like, that's so rad. So, I watch the Pro Motocross series. I got an NBC app, so I get to watch that. And that's sick. I love watching motocross and enduro, anything bikes.
How'd you get the NBC app?
It's $79. You can just buy it online.
Okay.
And then now you get all the outdoor series. So they just, Red Bud, the whole, every race.
Okay. I'm going to do that for the next one. Cause we did the Monster Supercross one.
Yeah. Yeah. So did I. And then my buddy was here visiting and he said, oh, there's an NBC app for outdoors. It was $80. It's the best money I get. Cause the motos are so long in motocross, right?
Yep.
They're 30 minutes plus two or something. So yeah, you just click it on and they have like 4 hours of motocross to watch. And they do all practice. So you watch all that in the morning, a little behind the scenes. And
oh, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be worthwhile because it's just like you miss those battles. Like, you know, cause like Cooper and Ken had like that little back and forth and then Cooper takes the series at the end.
And, yeah. Like,
you know, just.
And that's what's cool about outdoors. Cooper's running like eighth, ninth. Oh, they both on this last past weekend, Cooper and who is it? They both did a huge whip and they hit tires. They both whipped it over the finish line, right? To scrub. Their rear tires hit and Cooper went flying off. The other guy, was it Chase? Was it Sexton? I'm not sure, but he crashed so hard, but he landed on some grass and slid it out. But yeah, I'm just a moto addict. I just love it.
Yeah, man. Like, and the accidents are so like, I guess, because the personalities are so few of them that whenever they have something happen, it's kind of like a buddy, you know, like for that little bit of time. And you're like, oh, you know, feeling bad.
That's right. That's right.
Cameron McAdoo, like, holy shit.
Oh, man, Cameron. Holy shit. That was impressive. I was scared to watch for a bit there. I'm like, oh, he's just going to ragdoll again. He's going to ragdoll. Yeah. Yeah, but I like him. Well, I see I've followed him for quite a while. And, you know, his mom drove him to that Las Vegas race, and he was in the All-Star race before he went pro. And I kind of like those underdogs that are coming up, and they're not, you know, the Deegan's kid or some, you know, just molded the whole way. Somebody like that, like
legacy Aaron kids.
And, yeah. Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, I guess everybody likes when the average guy gets his day. Right?
Yeah, like Weston Pike, when he come up, it was kind of like a shitty. You just see him progress, right? And then,
yeah. So who's your pick for Romaniacs? Who do you think will be the?
Is Webb going? Is Cody Webb going?
Yeah, as far as I know, he is.
Okay, so Lettenberg's going to be big. I mean, I don't know. So many.
I know, hey.
I mean, I would love to see Tristan obviously up there, or Cody Webb, or. Taddy, I like Taddy because he's pretty fun. Yeah, I don't know. That'll be. You want to know, that's a race too. That over time, you get better at. So the more you race there,
you get an advantage.
You learn every race, obviously, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It's too many good guys to call. I like Corey Gefunder. I don't think he's going though. I'm not sure if he's going.
Those kinds of races are like stacked. Like with
talent, totally,
like,
right?
Anything could happen because it's 4 or 5 days, right? Like, so
my buddy did a riding school there. He flew all the way over there and just rented a KTM, and they didn't go up top on the gnarly. The wall is still pretty gnarly all down below, but they got to do the first climb out of the hole. I think second or third, and yeah, it was a pretty cool experience for him.
I imagine that would be pretty sweet. Like,
yeah,
just. A huge waste of money, but then a great big smile.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, that's like Tristan was saying about the Erzberg. Like, if you don't make it through the prologue, it's over. You know.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're done.
But like,
if you don't go front row, I mean, Jarvis, can start second, but yeah, you got to be on that front row.
Yeah. Well, your race could be over. Like, if you spend the 10 grand to go and just like,
sure, yeah, sure, yeah, right, wipe out on the prologue in a corner.
Whereas like Romaniacs, at least. Get to ride, it just might be far
true.
Back.
Five days of riding, right?
Yeah, money bang for the buck.
Yeah, but yeah.
Like, oh,
do you know the two local guys that won the club? Guys that I used to ride with won the club class at the Romaniacs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's two Esteban Torres and Kit Stringer. They went 1-2 in the club class 1 year.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
like that is
pretty
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah, man. Like,
yeah,
kick
something I always wanted to go do that race.
It was like never on my list. Or never on my radar as something that's achievable, you know, like,
yeah,
but
oh,
like,
no, it is. You
yeah,
do it.
I feel like now, like I could try, but just like, how do I squirrel away 10 grand?
You know, right?
Like, I don't know how to do it.
Yeah,
in a way she'd be like, fuck.
Right.
But I could see like she,
no, actually when I was like, my wife was fully in for it. We were going to go. And my other good buddy, he went and watched with his son and he said the locals treated them so well. He stayed there for a month.
Okay.
And we watched the race, and then they went on a couple riding tours, and he said, like, epic single track. You come out onto this crazy farm, you know, there's an old lady at the cabin, you know, waving to you hi. Like, different vibe there, right? Everybody just loved it. It was on our radar. Too bad we didn't go, but
That's fair.
Cool. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine anything like that here. Like to get community buy-in, like everybody's such a jerk around here. Like,
oh yeah, no, yeah. Private property, Crown property, you can't go there. Yeah, I probably wouldn't fly. Like the Weston Beach Race in France, like that's a sick motor race on the beach. Can you imagine that here? Like, not oh man, you'd be locked up.
Yeah, man. Like we're super uptight about some things, right? Like, and it's sort of.
That's another subject, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll leave those people alone. All right. It looks like I've taken up a lot of your time here, Al. So if there's anybody you want to give a shout out to, go right ahead and feel free to plug your stuff.
Oh, geez. Yeah. So, okay. I'll plug my stuff first. The 559.ca. Go check it out, everybody. I got hats, shirts, t-shirts, got some racing jerseys, some mountain bike, sick mountain bike jerseys are coming up soon. So stay tuned for that. And, all my friends, family, my wife, Kim Wilson, everybody that's helped me out, my trainer, Patrick, Thibault. Oh yeah, Big Green Bikes. I really want to give them a big shout out in Qualicum Beach. Aerosmith Cycle donated to me as well. There's a bunch of local Spunky's Motorcycle Store. A bunch of these shops have really, really helped me out since this injury. So thank you. Thank you very much. My brother, Steve Wilson, Shannon Wilson. I'm going to forget some people. Huge supporters. Checked out. They were actually, unfortunately, my dad was going through cancer. So they were over in Vancouver when I broke my neck. We were in the same hospital.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah. I actually woke up when the chopper landed and I looked up and I could see his room. So it was pretty trippy.
I imagine.
But anyways, everybody has helped me out. Yourself, meeting you has been rad. And thank you very much for having me on.
Oh man, it's a pleasure.
I probably rambled and didn't give you enough about my moto background, but whatever. It's a motorbike and more podcast, right? Like, yeah, who wants to hear about, oh yeah, I did this on this race or that race. I did want to mention about that battle. I had one of my best battles ever.
Okay, let's go for it.
Okay. It's Endurocross with Stephen Ford. So Nanaimo Endurocross. And Nanaimo Endurocross is pretty legit. Like, it's tight. Some pretty wicked jumps. I think Sam King was there that year, or maybe the next year. I think we went 1, 2, 3. Oh shit, we were like rubbing tires. So I got the whole shot. I bobbled. I think I stalled my damn 350 in the rock garden. 40 got by me, and then I bumped in 40 on the next corner. And we were not, like, we were just trading plastic the whole race. People were going nuts, and 40 got me. Yeah, bugger. But I think I was second, and then Sam King was third. But that's just one race that just sticks in my head, right? Like, people still come up to me and go, remember that race when you and 40 were going at it? So
that's so cool.
And we were both on betas, beta 350s, so I made it even better, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of those old mace. And I battled him in Lytton, actually, in 42-degree temp as well. I had some good battles with Stephen Ford.
Yeah, he's such a good guy,
yeah,
man.
Like, he's a good guy, yeah. Him and Melissa are great. Yeah, I don't know why I thought of that one, but
it comes to mind. That's why
it comes to mind. Yeah. And it was like kind of sort of like a teammate almost. So at that time.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. I want to thank my guests for taking the time to sit down and chat with me. A special thank you to you, my supporters. Without you, this would not be possible. If you enjoyed the show, give it a 5-star rating. And if you haven't already, be sure to like, subscribe, and share. If this is your first time listening, I encourage you to take the 3-episode challenge. Once again, thank you for your continued support, and stay tuned to find out what's coming up next time.